they would only be given water, no food. And I saw their backs. They had been badly beaten with rubber truncheons.
In case you didn't know, in parts of southern Africa, the word panel beating means that a person has been arrested and questioned by the police. Sadly, the investigation is often carried out with the help of fists, feet and truncheons, hence the term panel beating. If someone is accused of a crime by a member of the public, then serious thought is essential. Is there a nearby police station where panel beating does not take place? Is the crime that has been committed sufficiently serious to require arrest, even if the suspect will be beaten in the process? If there has to be serious consideration of the consequences if a crime has been committed, then what can be said when the only crime is that of a starving individual trying to feed a family in spite of a capricious and unjust legislation? Archbishop Pius Ntupe, Archbishop of Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, describes what happens to small-scale miners.
Overnight, these people had just cracked down upon. The whole lot of police camps up and down those areas where there are mines. These people were taken, beaten, brought to the camp. I was talking to some of them. They would stay for a whole week without food. And they were forced, they were then taken by the police and told with their bare hands to go and cover the pits where they had been doing gold panning.
Zimbabwe is a beautiful country, rich in mineral wealth. Coal, gold and gemstones have for many years been an important part of the economy. The massive colliery at Hwange, for instance, boasts one of Africa's most valuable sources of brown coal. With the collapse of the tourist industry, many Zimbabweans turned their hands to small-scale mining.
These people, first of all, since there are no jobs in Zimbabwe, with very high inflation, with starvation, with lack of food, transport becomes impossible. It's so expensive to travel now in Zimbabwe that many people can't travel. Schools, many just don't have decent teachers. So in that kind of situation, some of these people were surviving on doing small-scale mining. At a certain point, Mugabe's government then gave licenses to small-scale miners to do some limited mining. And they were doing gold panning and so on. But just about 2 months ago, the government just passed a new law. We now stop small-scale mining without any warning to the people. They went around arresting these people. I saw some of these people had been badly beaten by the police, arresting 20,000 of these small-scale miners. And many of these people, since there are no jobs in Zimbabwe, they were living on this. You see, they would do some gold panning. They would take their products to a certain place and they get it weighed and they get money. And this way they're paying school fees. For their children, taking care of the work clinic. And they could assist food security for their wives and children and so on.
Hunger is a real possibility. And yet, when they're given the opportunity, there are alternatives. People just need to be given the chance to use their natural creative talents and their ability to trade.
But overnight they cracked down on them, and so they have no livelihood. These people are going to starve to death. Some of them were weeping and saying, we're going to starve to death with our children. We have nowhere else to run. We have this government that just doesn't care about the people.
And the people I saw myself are so gifted with the traditional crafts that they were able to create and sell to the tourists, but if the tourism industry is going down, that's another loss of livelihood, isn't it?
Yes. The people in Zimbabwe are very gifted, especially if you go like to Harare. You go to some of these, you look at the sculpture, they're even in stone.
Oh, they are beautiful.
It's out of this world. And then how they make, they will weld and they create sculptures of guinea fowls and through welding iron pieces of animals. It's out of this world. People are very, very creative in Zimbabwe. Actually, if things got back to normal in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe would have such a booming, would boom. I mean, it would be quite amazing. It would, the skill, the talent, and also hard workmanship. People are so hardworking. For instance, I remember before they cracked down, ladies would come from Harare and go to South Africa, and they would go to Botswana. And sometimes they would take some of these African vegetables, go and sell them in Botswana, get money there and bring goods. And Zimbabweans are very, very gifted. It's just that they have a very bad government that doesn't care for its people. If things got back to normal in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, I think, a certain African priest, and he's a Monsignor, he's a very, very intelligent man. He's 50 years a priest, he's 8 years old. You are saying the day Zimbabwe gets back on track, it's going to outdo, because the people are so creative and hardworking, it's going to outdo all its neighbors, including South Africa, Botswana, Swaziland, Mozambique. It's just going to outdo them. Mm-hmm. But the problem is inflation. Inflation just kills everything in Zimbabwe. People find themselves unable to do anything except those who are outside the country, channeling their monies through to build new homes and so forth. These small businesses, they collapse. Some of the bigger businesses relocate to Botswana and South Africa because they just can't make it anymore.
They need health care.
We have a beautiful hospital run by Franciscan missionaries of Divine Motherhood. At one time it was said to be one of the best hospitals in Southern Africa, Mater Dei. It's a miracle that Mater Dei just keeps going on and on and on, despite the 2,000% inflation. Mater Dei suffers because, more and more we just don't have, specialists and doctors are leaving. So Mater Dei would need, for instance, we'd need something like 1,000 surgeons. But then we have only 3 surgeons, so that keeps the bed occupancy low. And to keep the hospital running, you need a certain percentage of bed occupancy. But if your bed occupancy comes down to 40% or even goes lower than that, you might find yourself closing down the hospital. But it's impossible. Nurses are leaving, medicines are not available, workers are demanding more pay, and sometimes I went to Mater Dei to plead with them not to strike. The administrator often suffers a lot of depression because of a whole lot of disorders, very high food expenses, equipment difficult to replace. Staff members have a very low morale. So in that very situation, you find that things just don't work, but the government is doing nothing at all.